Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The fifth branch of Advaita Acharya was Sri Yadunandan Acharya, who had so many branches and sub-branches that it is impossible to write of them. Purport. Yadunandan Acharya was the official initiator spiritual master of Raghunath Das Goswami. In other words, when Raghunath Das Goswami was a householder, Yadunandan Acharya initiated him at home. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishe Namaha. Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. Hare Krishna. So we have a great fortune of discussing about this wonderful scripture, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is really, it is not a custom in many temples that I am from and other places I visit that we do CC discussion. Most of the time it is Bhagavatam, so it is so wonderful to really get this chance to speak on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we should all really understand that how fortunate we are that we get a chance, we get access to discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita. A scripture which, if you read the biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took years and years to find one copy of the bona fide Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was not easy for him to get Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, by the mercy of the BBT and Srila Prabhupada, we have so very easy access. It's on everybody's phones. It's on everybody's laptops. The whole CC we are carrying with you. I mean, can you imagine the fortune that we have? A scripture which was so very rare. A scripture which was, there was only one copy. If you remember the story of King Birambir, where he stole all the books. And all, there was only one copy of the Goswami literatures which was there, and the whole thing was been carried by Shyamananda Prabhu, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur. And this king dacoit, Birambir, stole that. And they were all wondering, oh my God, there's only copy which existed in the world. There's only copy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the only copy of Hari Bhakti Vilas, only copy of each of the scriptures, only one, and this all stolen. And then they opened the book. They found the card, and they opened the card, and they found that CC was right on the top. Even though it was put right below, it was right on the top. And the acharyas explained that Chaitanya Charitamrita is like that cream In milk, when you after some time milk, we get this cream over top, which is the essence of all literatures. And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I think it is just so much fortunate that we have chance to really discuss about this wonderful scripture, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this whole scripture is nothing but the focus of the scripture. It is the postgraduate study of Vaishnav culture. It talks about behavior. It's all about behavior. Even this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Kamalakanta Vishwas, and he's telling that this is not the way a person should behave, and especially the spiritual master should not act in such a way. And that's the background is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Kamalakanta Vishwas that one should not accept wealth from rich people or for kings, because that wealth which is tinged with so much of sin, if somebody accepts it, and he was telling in context of Advaita Acharya, and in general he's telling everybody, that if you accept that wealth, then you are tinged, you get affected by that sin. And if that sin affects you, then your mind becomes disturbed, and the whole purpose of life is destroyed. That was the verse taken last Saturday, that there is no purpose of life. And he continues to discuss this, that how it is very important to remember this behavior of sensitivity and being very cautious of when we interact with outsiders, interact with devotees. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about behavior and how important behavior is in the Vaishnava society. Because as we know that the way you behave is so loud that I can hardly hear what you speak. That's the phrase, right? That the way you behave is just so obvious and so loud that, you know, you may be speaking something wonderful, something very, very esoteric and something very truthful. But if your behavior is not supporting what you are speaking, then people will not take you seriously. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about behavior. There are beautiful stories after stories after stories. Why are these stories mentioned? One is, of course, when we hear the stories, we get purified. Shinvita Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantascha Abhadrani. When we hear this stories, Hridayantascha Abhadrani, all the Abhadra, all the sinful things, all the impure things are removed. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. And what happens when the Abhadra things are removed? Pure devotional service is established in the heart as an irrevocable fact. Bhakti bhavati naishtaki. It is established as an irrevocable fact. So when we hear this beautiful story, it definitely has a lot of spiritual entertainment value. We get entertained by these beautiful stories, but it is just not enough to just get entertained and say, well, it's a beautiful class, very nice, very wonderful, and get excited and go back. But the whole idea is to understand what these stories are telling us. And how do we imbibe these stories in our lives? I'm just reminded of this wonderful, beautiful story. We talk about behavior in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It comes in the Antalila. There's a very, very great devotee of the name Kalidas. He's a devotee from Bengal. And Kalidas, he was the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. Very, very rich person. Affluent person. Beautiful. But Kalidas had this unique desire. Anybody knows what was his desire? A very unique desire he had. That he wanted Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. The Kalidas had a very unique desire, that he had a desire to taste the maha of each and every devotee. That was his longing. That when will I taste the maha? He was a rich man, you know, a very affluent businessman. Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle, you can imagine. Very affluent, Suvarna Vanik family. Very rich people. But he had a desire to taste maha. And it is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he had tasted the maha of each and every devotee in Bengal. What he would do is, he would ask that, Prabhu, can you give me your maha? And obviously, you know, most of the time devotees say, oh, no, no. As we see in our society also, we don't taste my Maha. What is it? But he would secretly, without that Vaishnava knowing. Many times when we take Maha, we make a big fuss of it. And there's almost a fight. I remember there was one time two devotees were wanting Maha of each other. They went to such high levels of physical exchanges that one of them had a fracture in his foot. I mean, literally, you were just... I mean, you know, it's that Maha at the cost of fracturing your foot. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. But that's the extent we go to Maha. But, you know, Kalidas was very... he was not making big fuss. He would just go in a very secret way. There's so many easy ways if you really want Maha without the other person knowing. So many easy ways. Somebody is just washing the plate, puts the plate, just lick it, and you get Maha. If you have the real desire, if you're really convinced about the power of Maha. So he would do that. But then he said that Bengal is over. Now I want to go to Jagannath Puri to taste the Maha of devotees over there. So Kalidas went, and there was a very, very great devotee of the Lord named Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur came of a very, very apparently, from the caste perspective, from a low caste, very poor person, but he was a great devotee of the Lord. And Kalidas focused on him. I mean, he would really focus. Said, today is... today is his turn. I want his Maha. And both Kalidas and Jadu Thakur were so humble when they met. They were just defeating each other by the humility. The Jadu Thakur would say, but you know, I'm so fallen. I'm such a degraded Vaishnava. How can I even think of giving you any of my Maha? And Kalidas would say, please, please put your feet on my head so that I can take the dust of your feet and feel my life purified. And there was these exchanges. But Kalidas, as we know, he was very expert. He had a good track record of really getting what he wanted. So Kalidas was a rich man, and he knew that the weakness of devotees, however great he is mangoes. Even Bhaktisiddhanta, he took a piece of mango and when he was young. And he said, oh my God, I have not offered. And then, of course, he would not eat mangoes. And he said, even though he would love mangoes, Bhaktisiddhanta said, I love mangoes, but I am an offender. So I cannot eat mangoes, because he said, in the childhood, I didn't offer mangoes. And I ate without offering. So anyway, mangoes is something which most of us can't control. So Kalidas got a whole basket full of mangoes for Jadu Thakur. I said, okay, please, I understand you are very humble. You don't want to give your dust and everything, but please accept this gift of mangoes. And mango is a very, why he selected mangoes is another reason we'll explain a little later. He gave these mangoes to him and he left. Not that he left completely, he went to the backyard and he was hiding behind a tree looking. So that was his desire to taste the Maha, genuine. So Jadu Thakur came to his house and his wife said, oh, Patishri, you know, this person has given mangoes. They look very big. Alfonso mangoes from Ratnagiri, Maharashtra. The top mangoes. By the way, the best mangoes are available in Maharashtra and Ratnagiri. The Alfonso mangoes. I don't know whether you get, maybe you get it. We don't get it. Because everything is exported. So he got these mangoes and his wife says, okay, you know, Jadu Thakur is explaining, she offered the mangoes to Krishna Chandra, to the Lord. I said, let's honor mangoes. So his wife cut all the mangoes and they were eating. And the unique thing about mangoes is that you can't eat the fruit completely. You have the seed and you have the skin. So you just leave the skin and the seed. So they collected a good amount of skin and seeds. And they threw it in the backyard. And who was waiting there, as we know? Kalidas was waiting there. And as soon as they threw the seeds and the skin of the mangoes, immediately he ran and started licking without making a big fuss. Just very silently, because he was so convinced that if I get this seeds and the Maha of Jadu Thakur, then my life is perfect. Krishnadas Kavada Goswami writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Bhaktapada Dhuliyara Bhaktapada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. He gives this very, very wonderful secret for all of us to know. The three Mahabal, the three ways that we can make rapid progress in Krishna consciousness. Bhakta Bhukta Bhakta Pada Dhuli. The dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Bhakta Pada Dhuli, Bhakta Pada Jal. The water which has washed the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha and the remnants of the footsteps of the Vaishnavas. These three are not just Bal, but Mahabal. These are very, very powerful substances, and if one gets them with complete faith in their power, not just for show off, or not just to, superficially, but once somebody has deep conviction, then these three things can really change your life. And Kalidas had that conviction. He took. And what was the result? This was a behavior. We are talking about behavior. And behavior is very, very subtle. A Vaishnava does not really show off. He's a very subtle person. So he was showing in a subtle way how he was so attached. He didn't make it. It was not known to anybody. But what was the result of this? The Krishna knows everything that you do. Right? Krishna within the heart knows the purpose of all your activities that you do. Is it for showing off? Or is it for... It is something based upon genuine conviction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew the conviction of Kalidas to get Maha of devotees. And then guess what? Kalidas, of all the people, focused on getting the Maha of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I said, now my focus is the Lord Himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a strict sannyasi. Nobody dared to take the water which washed his feet. Every day when he would go to Jagannath temple, there was a fixed pot which Mahaprabhu would put his feet, and Govind, his servant, would wash his feet. And that water only dried up. Nobody dared touch that water. It was a rule. Mahaprabhu said, nobody should touch this water. He was a strict sannyasi. He was not in the mood of a lord. He was in the mood of a devotee. As a devotee said, nobody should take this water. So then, Kalidas, he went at the time, one of the days, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was entering the Jagannath temple. And Govinda washed his feet. And right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kalidas had got such conviction. And based on the conviction, had become so fearless, transcendentally fearless, that he took right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one palmful and drank it. Second palmful, drank it. Third palmful, drank it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's enough. No more. And he went away. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him. He said, but three is enough. No more. This is what Chaitanya Chaitamrita is all about. The fine, sensitive behavior of Vaishnavas. So that's why when we talk about behavior, we should understand that as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we need to be more and more sensitive in our behavior. Many times we have seen, if we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we usually become very expert, or rather very good in talking or preaching. Which is good, because devotees hear so much, though they naturally want to preach and they speak. And so they become very good at speaking, right? Devotees love to speak. They love to glorify Krishna. But that is explained that if that speech, as we discussed earlier, that if the speech that we are talking about, is not supported by our behavior, then we'll be hypocrites. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy means that you speak something, but you do something else. And you know, as devotees, we all understand that we have anarthas that we need to fight with. We all are struggling with lust and anger and pride and greed and illusion and anger and everything else. But if you really analyze, yes, these are anarthas which are very, very seriously to be fought. But one of the things that is, one of the serious anarthas that many times that we lose track about, when we're not very conscious about, is the anartha of hypocrisy. And this hypocrisy is very much relevant to devotees and not so much to do with non-devotees. But because when does hypocrisy come? When you need to hide something which you are not, which you know it is wrong. Now many a times the non-devotees, they are not very, they are quite shameless to say the least. You know, I just give an example. Many years back, there was a guest who came from Hungary, not a devotee. He came to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital at Mumbai, and I was taking care of this guest. He was not a devotee, but he was trying to be with devotees, and he came as a sort of intern, spending some 2 months to learn something some medical science in the hospital. So it was 31st December. And then I told him that, my dear friend, there are so many programs, so many devotee programs on this 31st night. We have a program here, we have a program there. And, you know, it will be wonderful that you spend the New Year's, on the last day of the year with these devotees. And I gave him all the addresses that you can visit these places. I said, sure, I'll do. And then I said, we'll meet up on 1st or 2nd. So I met him on 2nd of January. I said, so my friend, how was your New Year? I said, hey, you guys talk about these four regulatory principles. This what I do? I said, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. I said, you know something? I broke all of them yesterday, in one night. I said, oh my God, is that? I said, so what I really saw is he was shameless. He was quite frank. I broke it, so what? You know, so there was no reason for him to be hypocritical, because he was not feeling bad of what he did. But vis-a-vis a devotee, not that he does that, but many times we see that we are supposed to be on a particular level of Krishna consciousness. We are expected to be, chanting 16 rounds, that too chanting our rounds in the morning as far as possible, not as far as possible. Must chant in the mornings. We are supposed to control our senses. And we see that we are sometimes falling short of what is expected of a devotee. Right? And we all find that we really fall short of what we really need to really be as devotees. And I don't need to really explain. I think all of us know. Each of us have areas where we really fall short. We all have our areas that we need to really work upon. But one way a sincere devotee would bridge that gap of what you expect to be and what you really are, and there is a gap, by really working hard to bridge that gap, to reach that level that you want to be. Right? That is a sincere devotee. And he does that. She does that. But the other way, which is a shortcut, the easy way, is to act that you are there. Let the whole world know that I am there. When you are in the temple, Hare Krishna, you are straight back, very wonderful rounds. But only your wife or husband knows how you chant at home. Slouching back with the TV on and newspaper, you are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And when you come to a devotee environment, oh see, he chants so nice rounds. I mean, it's good that you do that. But let's be consistent in our behavior. Let's be the same, because the real Krishna consciousness is not judged what you do when people are around. Your real Krishna consciousness is judged what you do when nobody is around. And you think only you are alone, but Krishna is watching you. And Krishna knows. Just like Krishna knew the mood of Kalidas. Nobody was knowing what he was doing, but Krishna knew what is his mood. And that's why Krishna gave him the benediction of taking the water from his feet. So this hypocrisy is a very, very dangerous. And this hypocrisy does not come in the early years of Krishna consciousness. Because we are quite sincere, and we are quite working hard to be what we want to be. We are working hard. But I'm saying about myself, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be judging anybody. But I can see those, as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, and the way I saw it in my own life, that we start falling short of what is expected of us. The midlife crisis catches us. The old habits catch us. The desires start cropping up. And sometimes we succumb to those desires. And we feel shameful that we did that. And we don't want to tell others. And we want to cover it up. And how do we cover it up? By being a pseudo devotee. By being what is called a Pondraka-like devotee. What is a Pondraka-like facade? Pondrak, he had a facade of Krishna, but he was a false Krishna. Similarly, we all have this Pondraka-like facade of being a devotee. We could have, which is very dangerous. But what happens when we have this hypocrisy? One of the outcome of hypocrisy is that slowly, 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 our heart becomes dry. There is no rasa. It becomes dry. Because we are acting, 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 acting. And sometimes we become so convinced by our good acting that we actually feel, actually I'm not so bad. I'm quite good. Right? And then we don't do anything about the dryness that is capturing our hearts. We have lost the taste. We have lost the taste. We lost the importance of Krishna consciousness. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, as a spiritual master, he's saying this verse, in the verse 52. He's saying that a devotee, and especially a spiritual master, he's talking about leaders. When he talks spiritual master, he's talking about leaders. A leader should be very careful on how they act. So we must understand that when the heart becomes dry, and this whole material world is also a very hot and a dry place, the whole power, the whole energy of Maya is to make everything dry and hot. Samsara dava nalalidha loka. This is a burning, this is like a burning forest. Right? We sing it every day morning. So it is, the material world is a dry and a hot place. What is the hot place about? It is hot. Hot out of frustration. People are frustrated. They are disgusted. They are not happy with what they have. They always want something more. And hot because of the lust to enjoy subtle and gross sense gratification. And dry because dryness because of dissatisfaction. No matter how much ever we have, we want more. In India, we said, Dil mange more. I said, the heart is wanting more and more and more. I know, many, many years back when I was becoming a new devotee, something which hit me. There was a speaker who said that there was a person who was rated the richest man in the world, maybe in the 70s or something. And he was rated that you are the richest man in the world. And there was this newspaper reporters who came to meet him and said, sir, you have been rated as the richest man in the world. What is your feelings? If you can describe your feelings in one word, what do you feel and what do we expect? The word would be, oh, I'm happy, I'm ecstatic, I'm blissful, I'm great. But what did he say? More. The richest man, the one word that he spoke, he said, I want more. Oh, you already have all the best, the maximum wealth that anybody has in this world, but he wants more. Because the heart is never satisfied with what it has. So that this dryness is something which is something we need to work about. And what is explained in this verse? Samsara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karunya gana ganatvam. Karunya. The merciful rains of Guru's mercy, of Krishna's mercy, it showers upon us. As when, and the only way the forest fire can be extinguished is when there's a rain. There's no other way. And what happens when it rains? Of course, it rains here all the time. I mean, so you might not be able to really distinguish. But if the place that I am from India, you know, right now it is extremely hot. When I left Bombay, it was 38 degrees Celsius. Extremely sultry, just sweating and sweating and sweating. But in June, by the time I reach first week or second week of June, there'll be first showers of rain. And what happens? You know, the whole place becomes fresh, cool, clean, and slowly, slowly we start seeing greenery coming up. And slowly we start seeing happy birds, you know, talking everything, right? So we need that grace of Guru and Krishna, which is like the rain. Otherwise, our hearts will become dry. Another very beautiful story that comes to my mind about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He ran to Jagannath temple. The first time that he was ever seeing Lord Jagannath in this life. It is explained that his ecstasy was constantly multiplying. When he first saw the shikram of Lord Jagannath, he became ecstatic. And when he came closer, his ecstasy became 1,000 times more and 1,000 times more. And finally, when he finally saw Lord Jagannath, he went into ecstasy and he just fell down, unconscious, fainted. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, oh, this is a young sannyasi, so beautiful. What happened to him? I said, I need to take care of him. He had this parental love for Lord Chaitanya. He didn't know he was the Lord. He just was thinking that, oh, this young sannyasi, take him to my house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was alone because the other devotees were quite behind. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his house and there was practically no signs of life. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was worried that has he left his body? But he took a cotton swab and put it near the nose and small filaments of the cotton swab were still moving. Then he said, oh, there is still some life. And then he was trying to revive him. And then in the meantime, devotees came and they started doing kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They started doing kirtan. And kirtan is what brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to external consciousness. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you are a young sannyasi and see how beautiful you are. How are you going to maintain your sannyas? I will train you in how to be a sannyasi. Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. I will train you on how to be a good sannyasi. And then he was explaining for 7 days, the wonderful instructions of the Vedas. He was a great scholar. He was the guru of the king, Prataparudra. You can imagine, very, very great scholar. And he was explaining and explaining. And then he said, after 7 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and hearing. I said, you never asked me any question, because sometimes, you know, when a speaker speaks, you know, for long, and then any questions, and nobody asks questions. There's one conclusion speaker makes, that either people have not understood anything, or the other thing is they have understood everything. There's no question. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked that, you are not asking me any questions. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very humble way, I said, oh my dear Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the explanations of what you're talking, the Vedanta Sutra, is as brilliant as the sun. But your commentary, your understanding, because Sarvabhauma was till now a Mayavadi. He had an impersonal understanding. So, but your explanation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, is like that thick cloud which covers the sun. Your heart, he said, your heart, because of being associating with this Mayavad philosophy, has become like a dry oil cake. As it is dry, you have become a dry logician. And there's no rasa in your life. And you know, this was the first time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard somebody saying about him something like this. So you mean I'm a dry logician? I mean, even the king accepts me as his guru. And you are saying, but Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, you know, because what you're explaining, it is as, I mean, you don't need to really give your Mayavad purports. It is just so brilliant. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar. Krishna is brilliant like the sun. But your explanation about Krishna is like the thick cloud which is covering the sun. Because of this Mayavad philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Atmaram verse. Atma Ramascha Munior Nirganta Api Urukrame. He explained it, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained it in 9 different ways. Because he was a scholar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it in 64 different ways. And he was amazed. And he realized that this person is not ordinary. He is God. And he surrendered to him. But Saurabh Bhattacharya was a very, very evolved person. It's just that he had this problem of Mayavad. That moment this gone, he became a great devotee. And what was the proof that his dry heart was filled with the rain of Mahaprabhu's mercy? The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath temple and he got the Maha of Lord Jagannath. Early morning, he knocked the door. He knocked. And Saurabh Bhattacharya, as soon as he got up, he could hear, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard from his mouth, Krishna, Krishna. The first words that he spoke was Krishna, Krishna. I said, oh, this person is changed. And then he opened the door and then Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, this is Maha, which I have got from Lord Jagannath's temple. Saurabh Bhattacharya said, but I have not yet brushed my teeth. I have not taken bath yet. But at the same time, you have got Mahaprasad. And he quoted some verses about the glories of Mahaprasad. He said, Mahaprasad, even though it is dry, it is old, it is stale, it is coming from far off places, one should honor Mahaprasad immediately. And Saurabh Bhattacharya was quoting this verse and right there and then, honor the Maha. And said, this is the glory of Maha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have realized the glory of Mahaprasad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic just to see that the dry heart of Saurabh Bhattacharya was profusely filled with the rasa of understanding Krishna consciousness. He started dancing in ecstasy. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, Sarvabhauma, who was the old man that way, he started dancing in ecstasy and he's explaining Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and it is not exaggeration, the author is saying, I'm not exaggerating, but both of them danced for hours. Just because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy that someone who is dry like Saurabh Bhattacharya has understood the glory of Mahaprasad. So that is what is required. That when we are hypocritical, our hearts become dry, and when we are dry, we don't understand the value of what is devotional service. We don't understand the value of Krishna consciousness. So many times I was just thinking that when this rain comes, when young children, I mean children are always young, so there's nothing. But children, you know, when it rains, in their innocent way, they want to run and drench themselves in the rain. Yes? They love to be in the rain. I remember I was so happy. When it rained, I would love to just run in the rain. But when we grow up, many times we become very finicky. Oh, it is raining. Oh, my clothes got a little wet. Yes. I mean, we don't like the rain. We want to be away from the shower. So I was just trying to draw a parallel. When we are innocent like those children, we are very happy to be in the rain of Krishna's mercy. And we take full advantage of getting drenched in the rain. But when we apparently become senior devotees, we become very finicky about this rain and we'd want to be, oh, this, I don't want my clothes to get wet. We start complaining about Krishna's mercy. Yeah? And I said, I don't want this mercy. I want to be, so this is what happens. And what does it mean to not be in Krishna's mercy? As I explained here, the first thing is, a leader should not accept anything from materialists for his own sense gratification. One of the things that starts happening, one of the many things, we'll try to discuss a few things that happen when we lose, when we come out of the reign of Krishna's mercy. The first thing happens is, we start using people for things. A leader uses himself for people. A leader is like sandalwood, it is explained. Or rather, he should be like a sandalwood. What is the unique thing about sandalwood? That it gets rubbed and rubbed. Getting rubbed is not easy. But sandalwood gets rubbed. But in the bargain of getting rubbed, it produces cool paste and gives wonderful fragrance. A leader... And how can we not think of Prabhupada in that case? A leader gets rubbed, he goes through all the inconveniences. But in that bargain, he spreads the cool mercy of Krishna around and gives wonderful fragrance. So leaders should be like that. But if we are not rightly situated, then we could be in a situation where we start using people for things rather than using oneself for people. When you see a person, say, what can I get from him? What can I get from her? What work can I get done from him? What can he give me? That is a sign that our heart is slowly but surely becoming dry from Krishna's mercy. We start giving up the association of devotees, especially the association of equal devotees. Because as we become busy leaders or busy people, preachers, there's always going to be a shortage of time. And it'll be so nice to stay around with people who are juniors. It's so nice, right? Because they always respect you. They say, Prabhu, if you are sleeping during japa, I say, Prabhuji is in samadhi. But an equal will say, hey man, get up. What are you sleeping on japa? An equal friend will say, come on, get up, my friend. So it hurts your ego. I said, I'm not sleeping. But it feels very nice to your ego when somebody says, you are sleeping. Well, Prabhuji is in samadhi. And when some junior sees you chanting rounds at 10 o'clock, he said, oh, he's chanting extra rounds. Maybe it is 64th round. But an equal will come to you, my dear friend, what happened? Do you get up in the morning nowadays? What is this rounds at 10 o'clock in the night? It feels bad. So what happens? The natural outcome of the ego is, I don't want to associate with equals because they expose me too much. You may not think it so grossly, but in a very, very subtle way, the mind slowly drifts you away from equal association. I said, why? Just be with these juniors, love you, they need you, and they are telling Prabhu, we need your guidance. You know, our life will be miserable without you. And we hear all sorts of things. That's a danger. We desperately need equal association. Equal association is like a challenging benediction. It's a benediction, but it's very challenging. And they may not support your false ego, but they might really arouse your true ego. And what is the true ego? The true ego is that I am servant of Krishna. The equals will help you to do that. Right? Many times another outcome of dryness is that we see projects as more important than people. Without the people, what is the project? Srila Prabhupada is synonymous to ISKCON. Does ISKCON as an organization have any meaning without Prabhupada or without the devotees? But slowly, in order to be achievers, in order to achieve something, I want to get this project done. And you should sometimes be very cruel to get this project done. You are sometimes cruel to the devotees. No care. That's another sign of dryness of your heart. You're losing the taste. You're losing the connectivity from Krishna. Because Krishna says, who is my real devotee? A devotee who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But devotee who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. One who is a servant of the servant, he is the real. Gopi Bhartur Patkamali or Das, Das, Das Anudas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the last things that he spoke to all of us, he said that you can show love for people how you cooperate. He didn't speak about any project. Even though Prabhupada achieved a lot of projects in his life, he did projects and he wanted projects to happen. I'm not saying projects should not happen, but not at the cost of frying devotees. But a leader who is not very well oriented, who is not getting the nourishment of Krishna's mercy, may be having this problem. Another aspect is lack of adequate hearing. A person loves to hear himself. The only time he hears is when he hears himself. Because I'm a preacher, you know, I have to give lectures in the morning, in the evening, that's good. I'm happy that Krishna is empowering you to speak. But slowly but surely, you just love to hear yourself. Oh, so nice I spoke. Krishna is really empowering me. And that is a very, 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 very perverted consciousness. there should be profuse hearing, sitting and hearing to receive knowledge at every stage of our life. If we don't hear, and I see, I mean, I'm getting so embarrassed, senior Vaishnavas like Vishwambar Prabhu, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, and what am I? I'm a very ordinary devotee, but I see these great souls, no matter what they are, in the morning they sit and hear. You see in Sridham Mayapur, no matter whoever is speaking, Jana Nivas Prabhu and Pankajangi Prabhu, they are there to hear the class. Now any speaker on the Vyasasana is less than half of their time that they have spent in Krishna class. These are the senior most people in Mayapur. But Jana Nivas Prabhu and Pankajangi Prabhu will sit and hear every single class. This is the sign of a person who is drenched in Krishna's mercy. Because he will be seeing Krishna's mercy coming through so many people. Through senior Vaishnavas, through equals, and even through juniors. Because he's seeing Krishna coming. And not necessarily a junior speaking or a senior speaking. And the last, but not the least, is lack of menial service. We stop doing menial service. We feel that I can only do this service, or rather I can't do this service. And this service can be done only by me. This is the attitude. I can't do this service because this is not my service. You know, I used to do that. That means, you know, I've grown now, you know. I earned my position now. I used to do this, now Prabhu, you do this. There's no service which you can't do, and there's no service which only you can do. That is the mood of a devotee. Sometimes the devotee feels, this service only I can do. How dare he does that? This is a problem. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is again and again telling us. To act responsibly. That's what the verse is talking again and again. Our leader should act responsibly. And then, slowly, as we have this consciousness, what is the outcome of this? The outcome of this is that, I think I mentioned this earlier, the analysis that we were trying to do, that when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we see everybody is a pure devotee. You remember? You're saying, Prabhu, he's a pure devotee. Oh, she's a pure devotee. We see everybody is a pure devotee. And we see, I'm most fallen. And then as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we realize that not everybody is a pure devotee. I saw some faults here and there. You know, I'm most fallen, no doubt, but not everybody is a pure devotee. But if we are not rightly situated, if we have spent more time in Krishna consciousness, if we are not rightly situated, if we are not properly drenched, as I say, in Krishna's mercy, then as we spend more time, then we realize that actually I'm not so bad. You know, I'm not so fallen because, you know, yesterday I gave class and somebody said, Prabhuji, Krishna spoke through you. And how can Krishna speak to somebody ordinary? I must be a good person. And there's so many faults that I see in people. And if we are not checking this mood, this wrong understanding, and I'm not exaggerating, we will be in a situation where we will feel that the whole world is fallen. Only I understand Krishna. Only I understand Prabhupada's desires. We could be in that situation. And people have unfortunately been in that situation. So that's a very, very wrong understanding. So we must have a complete understanding of humility. A leader is always humble. And part of humility is that it is not that this service needs me, but I need this service. It is not that Krishna needs me, but I need Krishna. It is not that devotees need me. Many times we say, oh, these devotees need me. You know, they can't do anything without me. But if you have a rightly understanding, he said, I need devotees desperately. It is not that they need me, because if I'm not there, things still continue. The society is going to still flourish. But I need to be in the society to flourish my Krishna consciousness. It is not that Srila Prabhupada needs me, but I desperately need Srila Prabhupada. That is the understanding. And what happens when we have that understanding? When we feel that I need devotees more than devotees needing me. What happens when you need something? You are you want to get it at any cost. And even if there is some abuse, apparent abuse, I mean, if you want something from a store, there's a long queue, people are fighting, but you stand in the line somehow there because you want that thing desperately, and you go through the troubles to get it, right? Because you need it. Similarly, if we as devotees feel that, yes, I need Krishna, I need devotees, and the apparent wrongdoings, because we might be sometimes roughly handled by devotees, we might be sometimes misunderstood by devotees, and if the outcome is that, this is a useless society. But if the mood is that this is a useless society, then we want to just leave. If the mood is, but there might be something wrong, and maybe I was handled in a wrong way, but still, I need devotees, more than devotees needing me. So I will tolerate. The greatness of a person is estimated, which is a Prabhupada statement from the Krishna book. A greatness of a person is to be estimated on how he tolerates provoking situations. The greatness is not estimated on how he speaks, or how many disciples he has, or how many verses that he can quote. None of these are benchmarks to really find somebody's greatness. But the greatness of a person can be esteemed. Prabhupada is very clear in writing on how he tolerates provoking situations. And Prabhupada says in the other place that don't find faults in your own karma coming back to you. Because that's what provoking situation is all about. Your own karma coming back. So devotees, if they have this positive understanding that, yes, I need devotees. I need to be subservient to devotees because I need them for the rest of my life. Then we could go through the apparent wrongdoings and injustices that we come across. And we do come across because it's a material world. Not everybody is perfect. But if we have this humble disposition, then we can go through these situations in our life. And in this last verse, it is explained, the verse that we read about Raghunath Das Goswami. It talks about the wonderful branch. One of the most prominent branch of Advaita Acharya is Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya is the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. Our Prayojan Acharya. We have Sambandha Abhidhyan Prayojan. The Sambandha Acharya is Sanatana Goswami. The Abhidhyan Acharya is Rupa Goswami. But the Prayojan Acharya is Raghunath Das Goswami. And Yadunandan Acharya was the initiating spiritual master of Raghunath Das Goswami. And from the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, we can learn amazing things. And the dealings between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was a very, very evolved devotee. He was a manjari from the spiritual world. Coming from an extremely, extremely affluent background. In the next 1 month, we'll be celebrating this very special festival, Paniyati Chiradayi Utsav. We all know this beautiful story. We will not repeat the story. But that's where he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, where he distributed Chida and Dahi to all the devotees. And in due course, Raghunath Das Goswami gave up his affluence. He was a multi-billionaire. He had a house, he had a wife who was as beautiful as a damsel of the heavens. He gave up the wealth and the beauty of his wife to do intense tapasya, intense austerities in Jagannath Puri. And we know what so austerities Raghunath Das Goswami did. But even though Raghunath Das Goswami was such a senior Vaishnava, such an elevated soul, see his humility. He never wanted to directly have relation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. It is not that he said that, well, you know, I'm coming from a rich family, you know, and I've given up so many things. I need to be directly under the care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, because after all, that's what I deserve. But all his life, Raghunath Das Goswami never dealt with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, but he always dealt through the medium of Swarup Damodar Goswami, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him in the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And of course, there are many, many more aspects of Raghunath Das Goswami's life. But this one thing we must understand, that Yadunanda Acharya was his guru and was Raghunadas Goswami, was such a elevated soul that he was so humbly disposed that he always found himself great shelter in being under the devotees and not directly under the Lord. And that is the same principle that we are talking about. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and not to be directly the servant of the Lord. That was exemplified by Raghunadas Goswami. So in this beautiful verses of Chaitanya Chidambarita, as we will be going further, we will read, and each and every verse and each and every stories of Chaitanya Chidambarita is again and again and again telling us the great importance of high quality behavior of a Vaishnava. Achar is behavior, and then comes prachar. Only when you behave rightly, then that prachar has me. Otherwise, your prachar will be like empty bullets. So let us take this this take home message from this wonderful scripture, Chaitanya Chitamrita, and let us really get inspired to behave in such a way. Srila Prabhupada said that my devotees are perfect gentlemen. They asked, how do you describe a devotee? He didn't say that they'll be wearing a perfect iron dhoti and perfect tilak. I mean, he did. There was no external. But Prabhupada talked about being a gentleman. Gentleman is all about behavior and not about any external situation. It's all about behavior, the internal substance of a person. So let us all work towards this internal substance, and I'm begging for all of your blessings that I can practice all that I spoke. Because as explained, that if you speak, Krishna is going to put you in a situation where you'll be tested that you follow what you have spoken. So a speaker does a great, taking a great risk. He speaks, but Krishna says, oh, you are speaking such big, big things? Now here you are. Yeah. So I seek your blessings that we can not only just speak, but we can seriously follow much more than what we speak. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Any additions from Vaishnavas? Shruti Prabhu, please, you want to add something? Any questions?